HarperCollins presents Maybe Next Time by Seska Major. Read by Claire Corbett. Be where you are. Otherwise, you will miss your life. Buddha. Part 1. Chapter 1. 3rd of December. 2007. Dear Emma, if it were up to me, we'd celebrate our anniversary on the day of our first date. But of course, you want to mark it today. You love telling people this story. Did you know, I actually spotted you first on that crammed tube? I remember seeing you in your black polo neck, the now familiar red lipstick, your raven hair tied up into that twisty thing you do. But I glanced away because, A, I didn't want to be creepy tube guy, and B, I was dressed as an extra in The Sound of Music. I was so aware of you as the tube rumbled on. Jules said something funny, and you did this incredible soft laugh. I couldn't help peeking up again. When you met my look, I remember the shock of feeling that ran down my spine. I tried to concentrate on something else, cursing work's fancy dress Friday, and feeling so wrong-footed in my lederhosen and Tyrolean hat. Not that I'd have been brave enough to do anything. And anyway, I was sure you'd be with someone already. A man equally chic, who'd wear perfectly cut suits, speak 3 languages, be great with kids, love animals, and have a massive knob. But fate intervened when the train jerked and I stumbled, missing the pole with my hand. My Tyrolean hat fell off and rolled to a stop by your shiny brown laced boots. I was gushing sorry and kneeling in front of you in lederhosen with Jules laughing and saying, "Guten Tag," when you gave me that first smile. Pity, obviously, because I was a man who couldn't even stand normally in a tube. Your boyfriend would stand really straight and still in a tube. "It's a nice hat," the first words you said to me. Your voice was confident, smooth, and I found myself worrying if my hair was flat as I placed it back on my head. I'd never worried if my hair was flat before. "Speak, man," I thought, "speak." I wished I'd plumped for something other than thanks. I remember feeling sad I'd missed my chance, that my exit was 2 stops away, and now I would leave and you'd disappear on the central line out of my life. I'd never know what you were like, whether this electric feeling I had was a real one. But then, you looked across at me and asked if I knew any good German markets, if I could write one down. The woman 2 seats down from you smiled into her book. And I thought, yes, I think this intriguing woman wants my number. Or she thinks I'm actually German and genuinely wants to know about German markets. I felt flustered as I patted my pockets for my pen and my A6 notebook. And no, I don't think it's that weird a thing to carry around, but I do wish Hattie hadn't told you I used to record bird species in it. Thanks for that, sis. But I didn't have it. Only a pen, a 50p piece, a crumpled receipt, and my house keys. I smoothed out the back of the receipt from Boots and quickly scrawled my number. Then I went over it twice, which I worried made me look a bit psycho, but I thought I'd made the 7 look like a 1. The row of pastel-coloured terraced houses that signalled we'd soon be slowing to a stop at my station flashed past the window behind you. I went a fraction too early, clumsily thrusting the Boots receipt in front of you. "If you want to go to a market," I said. Your mouth broke into a smile, and I felt a glow in my chest. I was about to return the smile when I froze, suddenly remembering the last time I'd been to Boots. But it was too late. You'd taken it, and it was now in your hand. You were still smiling like it was a good thing. Jules was smiling like it was a good thing. The woman 2 seats down was smiling like it was a good thing. Holy shit. I wanted to snatch it straight back. Your purple nail varnish swam in front of me as I panicked. My mum had asked me to pick up some more Anisole for her piles. Oh my God. I'd written my number on the back of a receipt for Anisole.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?